Welcome to Hey Ghost Hey, the podcast about ghosts, ghost hunting, and other paranormal phenomena of the Pacific Northwest. I am your host, Charles Crooks, owner, tour guide, and psychic of Bellingham Ghost Tours. We are here because I like ghosts a lot. Now let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the season finale of Hey Ghost Hey. I cannot believe that we are here already, that it's been a quick 10 episodes. And in tonight's episode, we are going to feature the evidence and talk about what happened during the Whidbey Island ghost hunting experience. So for the end of my fall tour season this year, I decided I would do something a little bit different and kind of end the season with a bang. And we went out to Whidbey Island and out to this house. Unfortunately, I can't say exactly where the house is for several different reasons. So I'm just going to speak of the vague area around it and what is close to it. So for two nights, I rented out this location, and each night I had groups of up to 10 people join me, and we basically just ghost hunted the space for 4 hours. And so the reason why I chose this location, or at least around this location, is because I got to go to the Fort Casey Inn years ago and had some interesting stuff kind of happen when I stayed there. And so when the opportunity came up for this home, I jumped at the chance and made it happen. So we're just going to jump right into the history of, I'm going to talk about Fort Casey, as that is the nearest major location that is near this home, and also kind of near the ferry terminal in Coopville, not too far from downtown Coopville. And side note, if you love the movie Practical Magic, that was actually filmed in Coopville, Washington. So it was kind of a double whammy for me as far as ghosts and witches go on this one. So I was quite excited. But just back to the ghost, let's start with the history of the area. And again, I'm speaking to the history of the fort. All right, this history is coming from the website Camp Casey, which is from the Seattle Pacific University, which now owns the Fort Casey Inn. At the turn of the 20th century, the U.S. Army opened a newly built fort that was to guard the entrance to Puget Sound and the Naval Shipyard in Bremerton. Located on Whidbey Island, the fort was named Fort Casey in honor of Brigadier General Thomas Lincoln Casey, the last U.S. Army Chief of Engineers. Fort Casey became part of the Triangle of Fire, along with Fort Worden and Fort Flagler, and its big guns were first fired on September 11, 1901. Within 20 years, Fort Casey was the fourth largest military post in Washington, housing 10 officers and 428 enlisted men. The Army used the fortification until World War II. When Fort Casey was decommissioned in the 1950s, Seattle Pacific University took ownership of the parade field and part of the property where the troops were housed, updating and renovating the buildings for university retreats, classes, and meetings by other organizations. Today, Seattle Pacific continues to welcome school groups, churches, nonprofit organizations, alumni, and outdoor education classes to this remarkable historical site. Alrighty, so let's just jump right into the investigations themselves. So we're going to start with Friday night first and kind of what was unique to that investigation. So right away, once we gathered, we had to start in the basement. So the house, it had a basement, then first floor, second floor. But of course, when you have a dark, creepy basement, that is naturally where you're going to start your investigation. So we went down there, and one of the devices that we used to try to communicate was called the Flux Responder. If you watch any of the ghost shows, I know it's been used on Ghost Hunters before. And basically, it has a few different lights on it. well, more two lights, and one side is red, one side is green, and then it can actually detect movement and EMF changes when things pass by it on one side or the other. So with the red and green lights, you can also use that for communication as well, of course, either as a yes or no, or however you want to set up those parameters. So right away, we had that going. We had some recorders, some video recorders as well, some EMF meters. We also had the ovulus going on. That's the one that spits out words that I talked about the Mount Baker Theater last episode. And so we were just starting in the basement, and right away on the flux responder, we got a green light when asking if there was anyone around us. And so, very excited at the response, we kept asking for it to confirm that there was something there. And every single time on cue, when asked, this happened 7 times to be exact, we got positive responses after direct questions. Now, this is the very first time that I have ever seen this kind of response with the flux responder. Usually, it would be... Usually when it would go off, it would give just kind of random responses. Like, you never really knew if it was really responding, or it could be in between questions. But this was not the case when we were down in the basement. Every single time that I would ask, are you still with us? Are you still around? We would get that positive response. And it wasn't like it was timed out at the same time either. There were even some lags in time where we wouldn't ask, and then we would come back to it, ask again, and then sure enough, we would get that response. So I found that to be very, very encouraging, especially at the start of the evening. And again, like I said, because I had never seen the flux responder give that sort of intelligent kind of communication before. So all in all, that was a fantastic start to the night. Another thing that seemed unique to the evening was we had several women in the group, and they seemed to be getting quite a bit of attention from what was going on. We had one woman by the name of Sierra, and she from the get-go, I would say in the basement, she would feel things and like tingles on her leg, or felt like something was touching her leg. And then this continued throughout the entire evening. And then we also had another instance where when we were back in the basement later on that evening, where another woman by the name of Sam, she was sitting on the ground, and someone was using one of the ghost apps on their phone, which has a LiDAR scanner, and they could see this kind of shadow around Sam. And even I believe they had the SLS setting on, which would kind of show like a stick figure if it detects someone there, and kind of outlines that human shape within a stick figure. And we got the kind of the image that it almost looked like someone was holding her hand. So definitely seemed to be very interested in the women, but also it seemed to have almost kind of a very antiquated view of women as well. We seemed to get all sorts of responses that maybe didn't quite, or I should say weren't quite up to date socially with the beliefs of women's freedoms. So in that case, was that more of a residual kind of energy, or was there actual intelligence to that? I mean, you have to kind of wonder, because it definitely seems like it has intelligence to recognize women, but still, again, very antiquated points of view. So I always kind of wonder how that works, especially with ghosts, because are you kind of stuck in that time of when you existed, or can you actually evolve as a soul and like grow and learn with the times? So definitely did not seem the case as far as it went for the ladies in our group. And then we also had a woman by the name of Beth. And when she had asked again down in the basement for any sort of response, she was told to leave not once, I believe, but twice in the evening. And then she is also the only one that had her name out of anyone in the group that had her specific name mentioned not once but twice. And what's interesting about that too is that not only her name Beth was mentioned, but then her nickname Betty, which she did not share that she goes by with us until that was actually mentioned as well. So definitely seemed to be picking on a few members of our group, but luckily no one was harmed. Nothing bad happened other than some maybe tingles and some slightly creepy feelings. And lastly for Friday, the one thing that I want to point out is that, again, basement, which was very, very heavy hot spot for the evening, as you can tell. We had a lot of EMF hits with just the standard K2 meter. That's the one with the lights that go from green to red. And when it hits EMF signals, it just spikes up to the red. And when we would use this either to try to communicate, we got direct responses. We also seemed to track movement around certain people. But it really seemed to be popping off in one particular area of the basement. And initially, I kind of wondered, or it seemed like things were kind of coming or going or might have been passing by us in this space quite a bit. But as the night went on, I almost got the sense that there was kind of a traffic coming out of this spot. And so a little bit more on that for later, but it really kind of made me get the sense that there actually might be a portal within this basement space. And again, as I talked about portals in the Mount Baker Theater last episode, it's not a word that I like to use lightly just because of all the connotations surrounding it and kind of what it's become through our media and Hollywood stories. Because often when you hear portal, it gets used as like ghost dimension, demon, hell exits and things like that. And really that's not how I see it at all. So more on that for later. But let's now go into what was unique for Saturday evening. So when we started Saturday with a brand new group, again, I think we had 10 people total in this group, so very close to same numbers as Friday night. We, of course, had to start within the basement, again, creepy basement, and especially because it produced so much activity on Friday, it was the natural no-brainer of that's where we were going to go. So we started off, again, with the flux responder, just trying to get a kind of vibe or sense of the room and what was going on. And we did get responses very similar to what we had Friday night, but they seemed just slightly more delayed. It didn't really have the sharpness of response that Friday seemed to have. And I don't know, maybe because the environmental energies were a little bit different from one night to another, or maybe the curiosity had even kind of waned from what was down in the basement, as this was second night in a row. So maybe we had a lot more curiosity on us Friday, but then kind of waned a little bit Saturday. But who knows? Because also on Saturday, we had quite a few people had communication devices either through their phones or their own equipment that they brought. And what I found was really interesting on Saturday was it didn't matter if it was the Ovilus or the ghost box or spirit box or someone else's phone. There seemed to be coincidences of responses that kind of matched each other throughout the entire evening. And there were even some devices that kicked out the same words that were completely different devices. So normally you would not expect that, or shouldn't expect that to happen. But of course, even greater evidence when it does give those similar same words. And also on Saturday, we also tried doing an Estes session with the spirit box. So basically, for an Estes session, what makes it different is that you pick one person to be your listener. And so they usually cover their eyes to just kind of go sensory deprivation a little bit more. And they would also put earphones on. And they listen to this spirit box and all the static that comes through it. And so as they're doing so, you have the rest of the group that does not have the headphones on, so they can't hear what the person is listening to. And so the group on the outside would ask questions, and then the person who has the headphones on would respond with what they hear coming through the spirit box. So the idea is that you have a little bit more, I guess, sort of control between the two, and that you're not really influencing the answers that are coming through. And so we first had a member of the group by the name of Maddie who volunteered to do this. And so when she started the session, we first had the words bathroom come through a few times. We also had the number 3. And then she even heard the words behind us. Now, we didn't experience anything behind us, but it was definitely interesting. So then, of course, we decided to take our focus to the basement and what was possibly going on down there. And so at this point, I had shared with the group on Saturday that I had possibly thought of maybe the potential of a portal in the basement. So we decided to ask about that. And right after, we got the words heaven and excellent in reference to this portal. But then some of the other responses that we got, or at least that Maddie got, that she shared with us were people, talk, and listening. And then towards the end, it also said, you're a stranger. And my favorite one, which was lesbians, said as a question. And finally, towards the end, she got good luck and thank you, which seemed like a pretty appropriate way to close out the session. But what was also really interesting about this, so we were on the first floor of the home as we did the SS session with Maddie, and then I went up to check on the group that was upstairs at the time, and they said once I got up there that whenever they would ask a question, they would hear the response for them come through Maddie down below. So initially, we had no idea that the upstairs group was even asking these questions, but according to them, it at least seemed like whenever we were getting responses, that some of those responses were actually for them. And so that's also something that happened on Friday night that was similar to, I believe, Marcus was trying to think of a word and send it to another group member and see if that would kind of come up or come through one of the devices. And someone else in the bathroom picked up that word through one of the devices. So really, like, location throughout the home doesn't really seem to matter as far as like this kind of wide range of communication went for the evening. Okay, and now on to what was similar to both evenings, because there were some things I thought were pretty interesting. So starting with Friday, through the ovulus, that's the device that spits out words, we had a lot of health-related vocabulary that came through. For example, we had iPad infection. So iPad spelled E-Y-E-P-A-D, infection. And then we also had skinny creation, also strangle prevent. And then both nights we got the words cancer that came through. Several times, actually. And then on Friday, when it was myself, Sierra, and Jeff, we went down into the basement to change one of the camera batteries. And as soon as we got down there, we asked if anyone was around. And through the ovulus, it said the words doctor present. Now, this is really interesting because the house is actually closer to the Fort Casey Inn and where the old hospital for the fort was. And so proximity-wise, definitely interesting to have kind of those words come through on both evenings, as that could definitely relate to the potential of the hospital that once used to be there. And then also in the basement when Sierra and Jeff and I were there, after it said doctor present, there, I believe through the camera, I was looking as I changed the battery, and there was an orb that was floating around Jeff that definitely seemed to have some sort of intelligence to it. And he even asked if the doctor would check his ears out, and the orb floated around his head when that happened. So I don't have all of the video evidence ready yet, but when I do, that will all be posted on the YouTube channel, just like it was for the Mount Baker Theater investigation. So the next up, I want to address the upstairs of the home. Particularly, the back bedroom seemed to have some unique stuff going on from both nights. So on Friday, we got, again, through the ovulus, the word device, the words student, steamy ashes, and then sin, soul, and fresh. So that was just a small smattering of words that came through that really seemed to do a lot with religion or kind of heavy religion and youth. So we didn't think much of it Friday night, of course, but then on Saturday, when we had a group that was up there, we started to get the words like Christian came through. Now, initially, we had a member of our group by the name of Christian, so we assumed that it was talking about her. But then as the night went on, we actually kind of wondered if maybe it was talking about religion, because it definitely seemed to have a consistent theme of religion through the words that it was giving. And I believe it was Leslie Ann who then got a sense of there being a young man who was either studying or forced to study religion and was just really unhappy with his life at the times. And so I found it really intriguing on how that seemed to kind of reflect the words that were coming through on Friday night about religion and youth. So definitely some correlations as far as what that bedroom was giving off energetically. And as far as some other words that came through the devices that were similar to both nights, it seemed that whatever was coming through had a little bit of kind of sass to it. There were a few times where I believe it was Friday, we don't know for sure if it was referring to me or not, but it was very timely that I got called garbage, quite possibly. And then on Saturday night, we had the word moron come through when I was trying to change a battery. So who knows? If you've been on the Fairhaven tour, you know that I play an EVP where I possibly get called a weirdo. So it seems to track so far with at least past experiences, and maybe they're just having fun, but who knows? At this point, I'll take it because it adds to the fun for me at least. And then one other thing that I do want to note is that environmentally, we had some really interesting energies on Friday and Saturday. So on Friday, it was the full moon, and I almost kind of wonder if that kind of maybe amplified the portal energy and what was coming and going, as that definitely seemed to be very active that night. But then on Saturday, we had had a big storm come through that day earlier, and while we still have the moon's energy, still that full moon energy, it's still not quite as potent as it was Friday night. So who knows, maybe those even had a factor in what we experienced from one night to another. But also, like I said, maybe it was also just the ghost perspective, and maybe they were bored with us from one night to another. Maybe they're already kind of like, been there, done that sort of feeling. So you never know. But it is believed that environmental factors can play a part in hauntings as well. That's why also it was a dark and stormy night is such a good start for ghost stories, not just because of the creepy atmosphere, but it's said that storms actually amplify ghost activity. So even though we had a ton of personal experiences and experiences with the devices, either evening really did not put up a lot of EVP evidence. But I do have two small clips I would like to share with you guys. The first one is from Friday night. And so this was when we were down in the basement, and I would say it was pretty early on in the evening, and we were just getting going with the flux responder, and had already had a few responses, and just trying to get more activity. And then we heard what sounded like a growl. Now, as you're going to hear on the recording, initially we thought it was someone's stomach, or at least I thought it was someone's stomach, so I didn't call it out. But then once it gets addressed, then we all kind of realize that maybe it was something a little bit more. So I'm just going to play that longer clip first, and then I'll shorten it down for you guys. So here is the full version starting now.
If that's easiest to do. I think that was.
Okay.
Did someone's stomach growl?
It's fine.
No. Otherwise, I heard like kind of a low growl.
Yeah.
So as soon as I say easiest to do, that is when you can kind of hear that low rumble. So like I said, you may have to turn it up a little bit to hear it clearly, but it is definitely there. So I'm going to isolate just the growl itself and play that twice for you guys now.
Thank you.
All right. Secondly, then on Saturday, so this one not a true EVP in the sense where we did not hear it, as this is just a response from the spirit box. And I'm going to share this because it is one of the very first clear responses I have gotten with the spirit box since I've had this device. So here we go. I'll just play it. And what you're hearing is the voice say the word talk.
And actually, I'm going to walk up a little bit closer. To me, it sounded like it said talk.
It's a talk, yeah.
Talk. And here it is isolated, just the word itself. So while it wasn't a heavy audio evidence evening, I still consider both evenings to be an immense success as far as investigating goes. It's been a long time since I've had that much evidence, especially consistently on both nights, and even having evidence that matches both times I've been in a location. Usually it can seem like you go once to somewhere, you'll get stuff, and then you go again, and you'll get completely unrelated stuff. So to have things kind of happen across the board, especially with two different groups of people even, I find really exciting. So I thought both nights were absolutely amazing. And while there are currently no other investigations like this planned right now, I definitely have my sights on other potential spaces in Washington State. But if you know of anywhere that might be good to investigate or do a group investigation like this, by all means, please reach out to me and let me know. I would love to hear your suggestions. I would also like to add that I was immensely proud of everyone who attended in both evenings. Everyone really was just open to experiencing, open to their intuition, and really conducted themselves very professionally. So, way to go, junior ghost hunters. I would be happy to have you guys along any other time for anything else that I do. As I end this season, I want to take a moment to also reflect on some of the newer evidence that I've collected in the past 2 months. I always intended for this season to be a bridge between my greatest hits from years ago and to kind of be the introduction to getting back into investigating after a long break. What I have found is very interesting, at least to me, in the trends that I'm seeing in all of the new EVPs that I've gotten so far. Everything new that I have collected or gotten seems to either be animalistic in some way, shape, or form. So in Marine Park, it was that howl. At Northern State, it was that whistle and groan noise. Then at the Mount Baker Theater, we had that kind of growl-esque noise that I called the goblin on as we were going around on the tour. And then finally, we have this growl from the basement of the Whidbey Island House. And so I always believe that hauntings tend to be reflective to what we are going through and experiencing ourselves on an energetic level. And so I have absolutely no idea as to what I'm experiencing or what any of this means for me personally, but I'm really excited to see where it goes. I kind of have a direction and an idea of where I want season 2 to go, so definitely I'm planning a season 2 already, and hopefully you will see some bonus episodes until season 2 happens to kind of fill the time, but I'm kind of thinking season 2 will most likely happen next fall. So once again, if you have any ideas or requests of places that you would like to see or hear about, I would love to hear. So shoot me an email at bellinghamghosttours@gmail.com. And that is officially going to wrap up our episode and our final episode of season 1. So I cannot thank you enough for being here for the first season of Hey Ghost Hey. You can find me in Bellingham, Washington on the Fairhaven or Downtown Ghost Tours. And if you are interested in readings or working with me, you can find all my information at charlescrooks.com or bellinghamghosttours.com. So thank you so much. I cannot thank you enough for being a part of season 1 of Hey Ghost Hey, and always stay spooky, my friends. See you soon.